The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon. Blessed to be with you this week. Drew returns from a great family vacation. I'm sure he'll tell you all about it and show you pictures when he's back on Monday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up in this hour, we have new information about the Los Angeles Dodgers' invitation to that anti-Catholic radical group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and the shocking performance that they're planning during a game at Anaheim Stadium coming up on June 16th. We'll give you the latest on the growing campaign among Catholics against the Dodgers, Major League Baseball, advertisers, City of Anaheim, and how that protest is even extending to your favorite team in your city, wherever you are. We'll talk about that coming up here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, and also start building this grassroots effort to get the LA Dodgers to change their mind for a second time. It's unbelievable. And you know what's happening on June 16th? On June 16th, that is a major feast day. That's the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So we've got the protection of the power of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but that also makes this even more sacrilegious. We'll get into that. You can hear the passion in my voice because we've heard it in your voice. And together, we're trying to change minds and hearts in Southern California and also send a clear message across the country to all teams, to all organizations, that this is just not acceptable to just persecute us as Catholics in a very public way. But in the global sense, isn't this a part of the culture war? Let's talk a little bit about that. Now, this is a pseudonym, Peachy Keenan. That's our guest's name. It's a pseudonym and a writer and a mom living deep behind enemy lines, as she says. And I love this. It's a great sense of humor. She says that she identifies herself as a husbo sexual, which means she's only attracted to people who identify as her husband. And she gave up a career in writing for a lot of big corporations so she could devote herself to family, post on Twitter, and also be a senior contributor to The Federalist and a contributing editor to The American Mind. Peachy Keenan, welcome to Relevant Radio.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
When did the culture war start? Sometimes I think that I've turned into the people on the Progressive insurance commercials where I've become my parents. I'm putting my name on the garbage cans when I put them out at the curb. When did the culture war start? Or was this just is this a death by paper cuts thing? It's just drip, 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 drip. And now wherever you look, someone's offended about something.
Yeah, you know, they say the Marxist revolution goes slowly, but then it happens all at once. I mean, I think this has been happening since, the 60s and the sexual revolution and sort of the 100-year march through the institutions. But everything has really gone, full blast since COVID. And I think that they saw an opening to, capture all the kids who were stuck on their computers and keep everybody trapped at home.
Yeah.
And everything just seemed to explode and go into, hyperdrive. I mean, I think everyone feels that way. And, I mean, talking about the Dodgers, I live in Dodger country. I grew up going to all those games. And the Dodgers have been having Pride Night for something like 10 years, and no one ever cared. No one ever protested, because what they were doing was just, handing out a rainbow pin or something. It wasn't like over the top. It was we just kind of shrugged. And if you didn't want to go to that game, you didn't have to go. But now the culture wars are unavoidable. They want to bring in this group, like you were talking about.
A group that desecrates the Eucharist.
Yeah, they're doing nude stripteases on the cross. So over the top. It's only hosting them, but the Dodgers chose to disregard all the people who were begging them and got them to, disinvite. But no, now the Dodgers have fully cast their lot in with this, very extreme, it's called X-rated sexual group. And they've now, that's who they're trying to appease now. And so even if you don't want to go to the game, you're not going to go that night, just knowing that you don't want to give money to an organization that's chosen to prioritize people like that over their home base, over their
family. We can vote with our wallets. We're talking about the culture wars that you and I seem to live in. It seems to be out of control around us. And of course, we can at least control our little part of the world, our families and our greater communities, also our parish communities, because you can even see in some parishes, I see it sometimes in my diocese, not in my parish, some of those culture wars are in there and you look and you go, ooh, they're doing that? You know, so it's you got to watch out how it's how Satan is just infiltrating drip by drip with the culture war, even in some parish communities. 888-914-9149. It is a pseudonym for Peachy Keenan, who's a writer and a mom who writes about this. Now, as a mom of with kids, how do you insulate them from the culture war that just seems to come at them from every conceivable direction?
Right. I mean, you used to be able to raise your kids and live a normal life, and if you didn't want to go down to certain parts of town and get all this stuff, you didn't have to. It was so easy. But now it's coming in the front door, and they're getting it at school, and they're getting it from their friends, and little kids have looking at the pornography on their phones, and it's in every movie. The narrative, you know, the message is coming at you from all sides. And so that's why I wrote this book. I mean, you know, I think becoming more domestic, as I say, becoming extremely domestic, a domestic extremist, that's what we need more of. We need more people to kind of take control over their, like you said, their little corners, their households, their families, themselves. And that's how we win this battle. It's just going to be like one person, one family at a time deciding like, nope, not me. Like we're not going to go to Target right now. Like I'm not going to go to Disneyland right now. And, you know, bring my little daughter to the mustachioed fairy godmother who's inviting the little girls into the Bibbidi Bobbidi salon these days.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You just have to say no. We have to reject this stuff. And I think, look, we're actually winning a little bit here. Like, it feels really good to see that, like, the normies, you know, the normal people, the families of America have finally, like, had it, right? Like, we're just saying no now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the book that Peachy Keenan, pseudonym, mentions is Domestic Extremist. It's a practical guide to winning the culture war. And you can get that online at major booksellers and in a bookstore. If you still have one in your community, fortunately, I live in a community that's got three of them. Actual book. You can go in and touch a book and actually pick it up and read it. I have yet to read anything electronically. I like to hold a book. I'm showing my age here. I guess I am my parents, Peachy. Now, in terms of electronic devices, because as you say, the culture war finds the kids. They don't have to go looking for it. How do you manage that in your house?
You know, it's a constant battle. It's really tricky. And what we've just basically had, we have some basic ground rules, you know, certain YouTube channels there, you know, the toothpaste is out of the tube. Kids have access to technology. They do use computers. They have phones because they're driving. You know, it's really, there's no way to be an Amish person, you know, live in modern society. Okay. But like, we don't give phones to little kids. They get a phone in high school, and there are certain apps they're just not allowed to download, or, you know, they're going to lose the phone, like TikTok, for example. They're not, you know, they're limited to posting just to friends. Like none of my kids are posting things to the world, to the public, so the public can see photos of them. I think that's probably, you know, inviting trouble.
Definitely.
And, you know, and we just also just teach them values. And as Catholics, you know, they're aware of stuff that they're not really, they don't want to see at this point.
Yeah.
They don't want to see, like, you know, sex scenes in movies. It makes them feel uncomfortable. And so, you know, just look, Catholicism is a great shortcut to raising domestic extremists, raising kids who are not comfortable with mainstream American culture. I mean, it is a great, you know, inoculation. I mean, it's the ultimate vaccine, really, against, you know, the rest of the world, which seems to have lost their minds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I highly recommend it, but you can do this without being religious. It's a little harder, but yeah, for electronics, you know, what you don't want is little kids. I mean, I think 8-year-old boys on average are looking at pornography at age 8, age 9 on their phone.
Right. And usually at a neighbor's house. Now, I'm dating myself, but, you know, when I grew up, all we had was television and, you know, 3 or 4 channels. That was exactly. So that was our social media. And I remember one day in the middle of summer vacation, I said to my mom, "Mom, I'm bored." And with the perfect delivery of a situation comedy mom, she said, "Well, you can always pray." That knocked the wind out of me, figuratively. And so I did.
Awesome.
And
mm-hmm.
and you know, and here we are all of these years later talking about that, you know, for her, just an offhanded comment that, you know, a lifelong impression on me, "You can always pray." Because it goes back to, as we talk about culture wars and all of the things that you and I are exposed to, and how it's so easy to go down that rabbit hole, is God gives us the gift of 168 hours in the week. What are we going to do with it? We're going to look at YouTube videos? Come on.
Right. That also speaks to the power of mothers. You know, I wrote this book. This book is for men and women. But it's really about, you know, my own, like, path from secular liberal atheism. You know, I was feminist. I was pro-choice. To where I am now, complete 180, this devout, a devout Catholic, a trad wife, basically, you know, living in L.A. And, you know, the power, it's about the power of mothers and the fact that a lot of women have really kind of deferred their authority. They've kind of, you know, minimized their maternal instinct. And now we're reaping the benefits of children who are looking, have a vacuum of authority in their lives and are looking for someone to tell them how to live their lives. And they're, you know, just being captured by the LGBTQ activists. They're captured, their teachers. They're just sort of doing, you know, living their lives in their, finding their own path. And it's really leading them to some pretty bizarre and sort of tragic outcomes. And so, I mean, what your mother said to you, I mean, look, the power of a mother's suggestion, I mean, that's real. And I think that mothers should feel more empowered to take charge of their families and their kids and themselves.
Amen. Peachy Keenan, a pseudonym, the book, Domestic Extremist, A Practical Guide to Winning the Culture Wars. And we want to find out how you deal with the culture wars with your kids, with everything that you get bombarded with, that your kids, your grandkids get bombarded with. How do you put that in perspective and through the perspective of your faith? How do you do that in your family? Join our conversation now on the Drew Mariani Show. Our number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. A little political here, if you will. When you see, in this particular case, it's Governor DeSantis, who is out on the campaign trail in South Carolina today, and we've seen what has generated a great deal of conversation and controversy in his home state of Florida about Don't Say Gay and banning certain books. What do you think about going that far?
Well, the funny thing is, you know, at first, I don't think he went far enough. And he only banned it in, I think, kindergarten through third grade. And I think now they are now banning gender indoctrination all the way through 12th grade, which is awesome. But it's like the whole, it's a joke. I mean, the whole thing of book banning, you know, just because you put the child pornography inside a hardcover book, like, and now you want to ban it, you're not banning a book, you're banning inappropriate material. This stuff, you know, if you put Hustler magazine or Penthouse magazine inside a hardcover, would they also not let you ban that? You know, just because it looks like a book.
These are not
your grandpa's books. These are not books. Okay. These are not literature. This is like, you know, contemporary young adult fiction, which as we know is, you know, completely wokeified to such a degree. Mm. You can't find any like straight kids in these books anymore. It's just pure indoctrination. And I think parents rightly want this stuff out of the libraries. So I think DeSantis was totally in the right. And I hope he goes farther than that even.
I'm not a parent, and you have full permission to yell at me as a parent, Peachy. But doesn't a lot of this happen in the kitchen? Isn't it really up to mom and dad as opposed to letting the culture, the school, the community, the media dictate what my kids can or cannot see? Have moms and dads forgotten how to say no?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of them have. Parents should be the primary educators of their kids, teaching them, you know, there's only two genders. Like you go to the zoo, count up the genders that the animals have. There's only two, you know. These are just fundamental things that you, of course, should be empowered to teach your kids. But I think people have been afraid. They want the authorities to take care of that, to teach their kids about sex, to teach their kids the rules. And also people have been also, you know, scared to seem like mean. They're scared to seem conservative. They don't want to look like the mean mom or dad on the block who won't let their kid, you know, have the phone. You don't want to be the only kid at school whose mom, you know, won't let you stay out late or won't let you see a certain movie.
But the irony is that's the witness that we need. That's the antidote.
That is the antidote. I mean, saying no, you have to be the bouncer. And parents don't want to make the kids mad. You know, that you don't want to be, you know, the bad guy. You want to be friends with your kid. You want them to open up to you and tell you everything.
But that's in the job really description of mom and dad. It's like number 22, bad guy. It's part of the job.
You have to do it.
You have to do it.
If you don't do it, they're going to do it for you, and you're not
exactly,
going to like the
result. Exactly. Our guest is Peachy Keenan. Her pseudonym, the book, is Domestic Extremist, A Practical Guide to Winning the Culture Wars. How are you winning the culture war in your house? 888-914-9149. What are you doing with your kids, your grandkids, or just trying to fight it off yourself and just live as faith-filled Roman Catholic men and women? 888-914-9149. Peachy is joining us from Los Angeles. Let's go down to Orange County. Dana's listening to Relevant Radio 93KHJ. Hey, Dana, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Yeah, I'm sorry that Drew's not here today, but thanks for taking the call. Listen, I really support the passion of your guest, and we need people to speak out against what has become completely imbalanced when it comes to sexual morality. But I also think we need maybe other people than your guest, but we need to become passionate about reducing American violence. That is also affecting children. The anxiety of just going to school because you might be shot to death in your school classroom is creating a different problem than the one your guest is talking about. And I'm not taking anything away from what she's saying, but there is a secondary, potentially even worse problem facing us when it comes to American violence.
Yeah, you know, you raise a good point, and it's one of those chicken and egg type things when you stop to look at the point that Dana's making, Peachy, isn't it? And, he raises, a very good point, but it's, what came first? Is it the culture war that created the violence? Is it the violence that created the culture war? I think they're probably symbiotic here in the context of this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the comment, but look, you look at the root causes of what causes most school shootings, and it's usually a teenage boy, a young person who is coming from a dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
You know, those families are raising children in a very contemporary, progressive way. Maybe the kids are on ADHD medication, maybe they're on antidepressants, and we know that that cocktail of drugs can absolutely lead to teenagers acting out like that. I mean, I think you see over and over again, every school shooter was medicated up to the gills, including that little girl, the little 12-year-old who just, horribly stabbed her little brother. She, it turns out, had a reaction to ADHD medication. So if you want to stop the root cause of that violence, raising children in stable, loving homes with two married parents, reduce the number of random adults that they're subjected to, boyfriends and step parents and all of that. I mean, children are being raised in these environments that are creating angry kids. And I mean, there's an easy way to prevent that.
We're fighting the culture wars, trying to come up with some solutions here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Summer's joining our conversation from California here at 888-914-9149. Hi, Summer. Welcome. Oh, Summer just went away. Let's go to Patty in Westminster, Colorado. Hi, Patty.
Hi there.
Now, as a parent, how do you deal with the culture wars with your kids?
Well, I will say that my kids are flown and grown now, but along the way, one of the things that was so important was sending them to Catholic school. So they didn't go to Catholic school prior to college, but they went to a charter school, which I was comfortable with, and I had changed their school because I wasn't comfortable with the previous school. And then when they got to college, they went to a Catholic university, and they graduated believing in God, and they graduated, having their faith intact. And so when you send them off to college, they still need that faith present and part of the dynamic of school and their life.
Talk a little bit about faith formation in your family, Peachy, because you're a convert to Catholicism.
Yeah, I wasn't able to benefit from any of that growing up. I was raised by secular atheists. I never set foot in a church or any kind of house of worship until really my husband converted. He converted before me. But Patty, I just want to applaud you for doing that and not being afraid to send your children to parochial schools, to Catholic colleges, because I do recommend that to people. Like, do not be afraid to pull kids at the first sign of trouble out of their public school. Like, the minute the drag queen, walks into the kindergarten classroom, like, that's the day you should go. You just got to walk out. And there's so many other options now, homeschool and Catholic schools. You got to do it.
I got a lot of social pressure as a parent saying that I was a racist, saying that, and this was like 10 years ago, that I was a racist, that I was brain draining my neighborhood, that I wasn't helping other kids. And honestly, I was looking out for my own kids first, and I wasn't going to take the social pressure of having to just comply And so I just literally, it came down to what is going to help or hurt my kid. And they came first over whatever pressure I was going to get.
Well, you are extremely domestic. I love it. Yeah, that's why I wrote this book. It's about resisting the social pressure. It's about feeling empowered as a parent, as a woman, as a mother, to do what you know is right in your heart. And you don't need somebody to tell you that. And who cares what they say about you? They're going to say what they're going to say. You got to protect those little kids.
Patty, we always hear about being persecuted as Catholics. You were in your neighborhood. How did you deal with that?
It hurt. You know, these are the people I was on PTA with and, you know, volunteered with. And people said some pretty ugly things. But in the long term, I was so happy. And I will tell you right now, so my kids are growing up out of college and they still go to Mass. They're still Catholic. They are living their faith. And that was the outcome. That was the outcome I was looking for. So I'm happy.
There you go. Next time you're home, put the Relevant Radio app on their smartphones if it's not there already. Okay, Patty?
Great job, Patty.
Will do.
I love it.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Patty. 888-914-9149. It's amazing, but again, how we can get that persecution from all in. The last place you would expect to get it is from your neighbors, from people on the PTA about why you're sending your kids to parochial school. That lady is an American hero, isn't she, Peachy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's what is being asked now of regular people. They're asked to be a hero. They're asked to sort of do these heroic things to save their kids from being kind of sucked into the, you know, the gender cult or whatever.
Right.
And it is hard. And you do have to face the mob. And like her neighbors called her racist, not supporting the local public school. I mean, you know, we're all kind of called to be martyrs right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to be burned at the stake, but maybe, you know, you are going to have to face the mob. When I was pregnant with my third kid, my neighbor here in LA saw me pregnant and she came over to me with an angry look on her face. And she said, "What are you? Some kind of Mormon?" You know,
what?
Like I was getting, like three kids. That was way too much for her. And I was getting already persecuted. I wasn't Mormon or anything at the time. But it was, you know, I've been there where I've been where she is.
Wow. The stake these days is social media and other things. And when we have more time, when you come back here on Relevant Radio, we'll start talking about that again. Peachy Keenan is the pseudonym for this writer in the book as we talk about culture wars and how to battle it and some solutions for you as moms, dads, just for all of us as Catholics navigating through this very difficult maze called the culture war that we see every single day with a new page added every day, right? The book, Domestic Extremist, A Practical Guide to Winning the Culture Wars. Peachy Keenan, thank you. God bless. Thanks for a great conversation. This was wonderful.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Take care. Coming up next, we've got new information about the Los Angeles Dodgers invitation to that anti-Catholic radical group. We'll talk about it, and you and I will work on some more solutions and some more pressure on the Dodgers and Major League Baseball as we continue here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Today, we'd like to thank Lawrence, who is listening in Illinois, for donating his 1994 Yamaha Waverunner. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your life connected.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon, who's back from vacation on Monday. And all of my time here at Relevant Radio and for all the time that you've been listening, I don't remember anything that has inspired you or really just kind of gotten up our ire like what's happening with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And together, our passion is working towards a solution to change minds and hearts. Here's what's going on. And we've got some new information about the LA Dodgers. They invited Pride Night. Pride Night is coming up on June 16th. It's 2 weeks from tonight. Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, no less, to add insult to injury. Pride Night, they invited the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. This is a radical left anti-Catholic group. They have shocking performances that they plan on doing at Dodger Stadium in Anaheim, California on the night of June 16th. Bishop Barron, a number of bishops, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, and a number of voices, many of you as the faithful, put pressure on the Dodgers saying, you absolutely cannot do this, this anti-Catholic crusade that you're on by putting this group up on a public stage. The Dodgers relented. Then they changed their mind. So the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence back on the show on June 16th, and they issued kind of a lukewarm apology to Christians in general. I just want to play for you some of your passionate calls about how you feel about this. And this is just comes from the last couple of days as we've been talking about this issue here on the Drew Mariani Show.
I grew up as a Central Valley, California Dodger fan, never thought about supporting any other team. Grew up listening to my grandfather's little AM radio on the games, okay? So Dodger Blue runs deep in our family. And I'm just so disgusted by having my faith mocked and Christianity mocked. It took me exactly 5 minutes to compose an email to the fan page email of the Dodgers saying what I just said, and to say it also mocks the faith of Vin Scully and Tommy Lasorda, and that I was done. I'm through with the Dodgers now.
I am neither a Catholic nor a baseball fan. I think the ridiculing of anyone's religion, whether it be Christian, Muslim, whatever, is inappropriate. I believe you are correct in advising people to boycott the games, MLB in general, and the sponsors of the games, the people who advertise, hit them in the wallet.
I am a longtime Dodgers fan. I am a Catholic. I love baseball. My family does as well. I was just horrified to hear about the invitation that the Dodgers sent out to this group, inviting them and honoring them and recognizing them for Pride Month. I sent personally an email to the Dodger organization. I copied also the Major League Baseball commissioner, letting them know how much they have offended me as a Catholic, as a an American, as a Dodger fan, because this hits all levels of everything that I believe as an American, as a person who has the right to practice my faith in this country for the freedoms that all of our men and women have fought for throughout my life and in past generations, and also in our world today. I'm going to continue to share and be a voice for my Catholic faith to my friends and my family, and I'm going to do everything that I can and pray hard too as well.
I'm disgusted by it, and I think that what we have to remember is that they have what's called shared revenue. So if you're going to any of the major league stadiums to be able to watch any of the games, especially if the Dodgers are playing, they are impacted. So if you boycott them at your local stadiums, you're able to hit their bottom line. And so the message needs to be sent very loud and clear, not just to the Dodgers, but to Major League Baseball in general, that we're not, as Catholics, going to tolerate this absolutely ridiculously ugly movement.
That's a montage of your voices just in the last couple of days here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on the Drew Mariani Show. We also spoke to a listener yesterday who reached out to the mayor of Anaheim, that's where Dodger Stadium is located, to put pressure from that end as well. And the campaign against the Dodgers is growing by almost the hour. Logan Church is campaign director for CatholicVote.org. Thanks be to God for Brian Birch and the team at CatholicVote.org that are spearheading this campaign against the LA Dodgers. Logan, welcome to Relevant Radio. Thanks be to God for all of the work that you guys are doing. When we had Tommy on just a couple of days ago, he was teasing a media campaign that was going to happen with television and multimedia ways to communicate to the people, not only in Southern California, but across the country, about what is planned for June 16th. What's the latest on that?
Hi, thanks for having me on. Yeah, so we're super excited and we are turning up the heat because we want to make sure we get the message across that Catholics and Christians everywhere are not going to stand for this type of behavior any longer. We announced a $1 million campaign against the Dodgers. And so that'll be, like Tommy mentioned, across a multitude of sources. So one of the things that we were trying to do is a billboard campaign surrounding the stadium. And, you know, funny enough, we ran into some snags. Turns out the billboard companies are just as bought into the nonsense as the Dodgers are. But we were able to secure methods such as mobile billboards that are able to drive around and things of those natures. And so those billboards are going up as we speak. And we're making sure that our voices are heard there. We're also doing a strong digital campaign that's via ads on social media, but also were doing targeted ads texted to people's phones using articles in regards to what's going on.
So this multimedia campaign against the Dodgers is going on right now. It's really comprehensive, Logan. We pray, and I know our relevant radio listeners are storming heaven with prayer, that it gets the attention of the Dodgers. And we had a former Major League Baseball player in the Phoenix call yesterday who was explaining how the economics of baseball, Major League Baseball, work with owners and with stadiums, and how by simply not going to the stadium, that's a message that you can get not only across to the Dodgers, but as he was saying, wherever you might be listening, if you've got a major league team that you support any place in the United States, just simply don't go. Empty seats send a clear message.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're getting that message across to our people. And, you know, I think this is a good example of, I think a lot of people are wondering, since when do baseball and beer have to be a political issue? Why can't we just let them be what they are?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Logan Church, campaign director for CatholicVote.org, behind this $1 million campaign, this multimedia campaign, from television to digital messages and everything in between, this growing campaign among us Catholics against the Dodgers, Major League Baseball, their advertisers, and even your favorite team wherever you are across the United States, to get the Dodgers to change their mind for a second time, to uninvite this anti-Catholic radical group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Their performance planned for Pride Night on June 16th, 2 weeks from tonight. This is an organization that has desecrated the Eucharist. And so now they're going to be on a very public platform, probably doing that as well at Dodger Stadium. Can you imagine that? 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you're in Southern California, I'd love to know what you're doing as well. If you're a Dodgers fan, I'd love to know what you're doing. Or if you're any place across the United States, if you're a baseball fan, what will you do? 888-914-9149 here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. What kind of pushback have you gotten so far with this very public campaign? And with the amplification, thanks be to God, that we've been able to give you and Catholic Vote here on Relevant Radio, Logan.
You know, it would be wrong of me to say that there hasn't been pushback, but I would say the feedback that we've gotten that's positive so far outweighs any negative that we've received. I think that this group is much smaller than they want you to believe. And this group, I believe the people who support what they're doing is much smaller than they want you to believe. So very little negative feedback, surprisingly, outside of the people who will always be opposed to all things we do with the Catholic Church.
With your background, Logan, not only as campaign director of CatholicVote.org, but you were involved in politics, too, working as a campaigner for congresspeople. You have to look at the Los Angeles Dodgers because you know about interacting with people in a very public way. What were they possibly thinking when they booked the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence? It's not like you don't know what they do, because they are infamous with videos and a public presence on YouTube and other social media platforms with their disgusting performances.
Yeah, you know, with my background working in political campaigns, I've worked in 7 different states and with a lot of great candidates. And I can tell you one thing. For sure. They vetted these people. They knew what they were doing and they knew what they were getting themselves into. But here's the issue. The issue is a lot of people find themselves in an echo chamber, whether you're in D.C. or you're in L.A. And once you're in that echo chamber, you have people around you who feed you the information that they think that you need to hear. And it leads to really poor choices like this.
Yeah, definitely. Darren's joining us in Tustin, California, 888-914-9149. Hi, Darren. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hi, thank you. So first off, I've been a lifelong Dodger fan. My grandfather was drafted by them in the 30s. Turned him down because he didn't make enough money back then. But Dodger Blue runs deep in my family, but it is no longer. My question is this. I keep hearing that this group desecrated the Eucharist. I just want more facts on it, because the secular media shows this is just some parody group. Did they seriously desecrate a consecrated host?
Yeah, they have done that.
Can we get more information on what they've done?
They have done that. I'm hesitant to even put that up on our social media pages, but yeah, they have done that. And then they also do.
That's not a hate crime. I can't imagine.
And that's a good point, Darren. And I'm glad you brought that up because, Logan, that has not entered our conversation about whether the desecration of the Eucharist is a hate crime. I believe it. Darren's right. It is, isn't it?
Right. I mean, I would say that it is. I would argue that it is. And maybe that's something we need to be bringing up more. So that's a great point. And they've done more than that. I mean, they've mocked the Virgin Mary. They've mocked Jesus. They've mocked the crucifixion. They've used a cross as a sort of stripper pole in a performance. And they host contests for sexualized versions of Mary and Jesus. I mean, it's just disgusting what they do. And there's no doubt that what they're doing is mocking Catholicism and Christianity through and through. And the truth is they've done even more than that. And I wouldn't even feel comfortable saying the things that they've done.
Darren, thanks for raising a good point. I'm going to follow up with Drew next week, and he'll be talking much more about this before we even get to the 16th. But I think you've unearthed something that's very important. Very important.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darren. We appreciate that. Mary's in St. Louis, Missouri, listening to Relevant Radio 95.1. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Yes, thanks for taking my call. I would like to know what other faith groups have been willing to join in this protest with Catholics and Christians. I'm speaking specifically of Jewish groups or Muslim groups. I know when Jewish organizations or groups have been targeted, many Catholics have been willing to stand up as a group and stand by their side. And the same thing with when Islam was targeted. Many Catholic and Christian groups were willing to stand by their side. And I would like to know if any of these groups have joined in this action or if there's any anticipation that they would.
That's a good question, Mary. Logan Church is campaign director for CatholicVote.org. You might have better insight on this.
We've had no other groups reach out to us desiring to partner on these issues. I wish they would because you bring up a great point. You know, we've stood in solidarity for religious freedom for others, you know, but they don't seem to do it in return. And so I would love to see some groups stand up and be a voice on this issue, but I've yet to see that.
Has your group reached out to any of these organizations?
I know we've reached out to a few, but I don't know if we've heard back.
Okay. Thank you.
And, you know, Mary, I have to make some calls myself to find out because one of the first on this, obviously, was the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. If Archbishop Gomez's office had reached out to other denominations in Southern California to join in this protest. So I'm adding that to the follow-up. Listen to Drew on Monday because he'll have more of that information. Mary, thanks for listening in St. Louis. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. The anti-Catholic radical group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, back with their shocking performance, halftime Pride Night at Dodger Stadium on June 16th. We're coming up with solutions. We're building this grassroots effort with CatholicVote.org to get the Dodgers to change their mind. 888-914-9149 to join in our conversation as we continue here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wish you could hit rewind on that convo? Listen to the podcast on RelevantRadio.com or anywhere podcasts can be found.
Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Pontiffs and Politics. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon, who's back on Monday. And you know, all through next week and leading up to June 16th, we're going to try to get the Los Angeles Dodgers to change their mind. Pride Night, 2 weeks from tonight, Feast of the Sacred Heart, June 16th. Pride Night's fine, but they're inviting the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, a radical group that does shocking anti-Catholic performances. And in their experience, they have desecrated the Eucharist. At first, the initial pressure from Catholics had the Dodgers change their mind. Then the Dodgers did a 180, put them back on the program and issued kind of a wishy-washy apology. a generic apology to Christians. Logan Church is campaign director for CatholicVote.org. Thanks be to God for Brian Birch and the team at CatholicVote.org. They're putting more than $1 million in media behind this, and you will see not only in Southern California, but right across the country, television commercials, digital ads, stuff that will show up on your smartphone, but so many different platforms to get the message out to the Los Angeles Dodgers and to Major League Baseball and to the advertisers. Not only at Dodger Stadium, but to Major League Baseball, about where we stand as Catholics. Lisa's joining our conversation here at 888-914-9149, Logan. Hi, Lisa. Lisa's in San Francisco listening to Relevant Radio 1260. Welcome.
Thank you. The only way we're going to get them is the bottom line. Do what Budweiser people did. Do what Target people did. Don't go. Don't go. Don't promote their sponsors. Don't go to the game. I heard the other day that people were going to go and play the rosary. No, that's not the bottom line. You're still buying a ticket. I'm a 30-year ticket holder for the San Francisco Giants. When the LA Dodgers comes, it's the funnest game. Not going, not supporting it. This isn't a Catholic issue. This is a religion issue for everybody, even if you're an atheist. This is wrong. Get them at their bottom line. It's the only way we can do it. Look at Budweiser, look at Target, and take direction from that.
Exactly. Are you going to address that in the media campaign, Logan?
Yeah, so we're calling a full boycott. I do know people are going to pray the rosary outside of the stadium. I think that's wonderful. I know there's a procession that, you know, we've our names on a flyer somewhere about a procession starting at the cathedral and heading to the stadium for people to pray. You're right. It's not a Catholic issue. It's a Christian issue. And I know there are other Christian denominations that are concerned about this, and so they're, I think they're joining in on the procession as well. But no, absolutely, the boycott is a full boycott.
And Lisa, thank you very much for your viewpoint, and let the Giants know as well. They have contact information on their website.
I emailed the Giants, and I emailed the Dodgers yesterday. Good. Everybody needs to do that that's listening.
Good, good, good. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Lisa, thanks for listening in San Francisco. Let's go to Chicago. Susie is listening to Relevant Radio. Hi, Susie.
Hi. Why don't we sue them? I don't understand. I mean, that is a hate crime. It's discrimination. It's a bunch of horrible things. And I don't understand that. If you want to get them, I think that's really the way to get them.
Logan, I sense this is a First Amendment issue.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that they are able to honor who they're going to honor at their event. It is technically protected under the First Amendment.
Can you help me understand why any other group would sue them and it would be okay? Because it would be offensive to them?
Well, yeah, so I agree. I think that's something worth looking into. And I know our legal team is doing their due diligence on that front to see if there's, trust me, you know, as an organization that has sued the FBI, we are not afraid to take on big lawsuits.
But
I will say, like, our legal team, you know, we trust our legal team, and we'll, if our legal team says, hey, there's a fight here, that's a fight we're going to take.
How can we support you?
Just go to CatholicVote.org.
Okay. Any other ideas what we can do to support, you know, the cause and
absolutely
make a donation?
Sign the boycott on our website. If you look up CatholicVote.org, okay. LA Dodgers, there's the boycott online. Okay. We're going to be signing that petition. If you live in the LA area, you know, get in contact with us. Maybe there's something we can do to work with you there. And we get involved with things like this across the board. And so just get plugged in with our organization and sign up for our email.
Susie, when you go out to CatholicVote.org, you'll see all the links there. There are a bunch of links, and it's really easy because after the show yesterday, I clicked on all those links, and in about 5 minutes, just let everybody know, all the powers that be, Major League Baseball, advertisers, the team, about where we stand as Catholics. Great question, Susie. Thank you so much. Steve's in Los Angeles listening to Relevant Radio 93KHJ. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So I was thinking about this. I heard very little about them other than that they're an offensive group. But then as I'm listening to the radio, I'm hearing a lot more about the details of what they're doing that's so offensive. And it almost feels like we're given a platform and we're making their message more well known. So how do we discuss this without promoting them as much?
Well, I think, you know, you probably answered your own question because you learned about this by listening to Relevant Radio. And as more and more of our Relevant Radio family hear this, not only support all of the petitions, the links that are up at CatholicVote.org, but really explaining what this group is or who this group is, you know, we can actually start pushing back and, you know, perhaps, you know, with the power of St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. And boy, this is battle with a capital B, you know, suppress this group in any way, shape, or form, because it is a First Amendment issue, as we've been talking about, and as Logan has been talking about. So we're just trying to work on this from all angles. And for a number of our Relevant Radio listeners like you, this is the first they've heard of it. But Steve, thank you. Thanks. And your prayers will help as well. We appreciate it so much. Go ahead.
So thank you. So if they are successful, let's say we're successful in this campaign and the Dodgers pull back, what then? Do we just return and
continue the boycott, vote with your wallet, because it also sends a message to Major League Baseball as well. Yesterday, when we had a Major League Baseball player was listening to our conversation as well, and even non-Catholic stars like pitcher Clayton Kershaw spoke out as a Dodger against this. And we had other Major League players call this radio program and explain the financial structure of Major League Baseball teams and Major League Baseball and how we really can vote with our wallet. So keep voting with your wallet. That's a great question. Steve, thanks for adding so much to the conversation. Lou's up in Monterey, California, joining us now at 888-914-9149. Hi, Lou.
Hey, how's it going?
Glad to have you on.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm calling because I'm sick to my stomach what the Dodgers did. I've been a fan since 1969, and I grew up being a huge Steve Garvey, that era, fan, and then saw Fernando Valenzuela do some remarkable things and watch Kirk Gibson hit that walk-off home run. I think it was game two. But I'm calling because of what they did. I can no longer be a fan. And it cuts me to the gill. It really hurts what they're doing. And I don't think I'm the only one who feels this way. It's blasphemous what they're doing, you know. And I just turned Catholic 3 years ago with the catechumen. I was a catechumen, and I turned my life over to Christ since then. And it's really opened up my eyes to what's happening in this world, not just in baseball, but everywhere. They're pushing their agenda on everybody's throats, you know, and it's against God.
Well, we can push back, and I know you're going to do that, Lou. And by sharing your voice and amplifying your voice here on Relevant Radio, that's the first part of it. Welcome home. We're glad to have you as part of the family, Lou. Thanks for listening in Monterey, California. Mary's in Highland, Indiana. Mary, hi. What do you think about this Dodgers thing?
Hi. So what I was going to say is a way to get a message to the Dodgers that the Catholics and believers in Jesus will not are going to boycott their baseball games by making a special night of reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, since it's his month, and to maybe in our parishes, our dioceses, do special devotions, the rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, some special on the Sacred Heart Novena or something. And being that it's on the 16th, to add insult to injury, if that's the special day for devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
I think we owe that to God to do that.
That's a great idea. Logan, maybe you can put something, a couple of these suggestions up at CatholicVote.org, because I know a lot of our Relevant Radio listeners will be going to CatholicVote.org, not only to click on the links there to sign all of the petitions to the Dodgers and Major League Baseball and others, but also perhaps to give those who are going to CatholicVote.org other ways that they can participate via prayer.
Yes, absolutely. I'm taking notes, and if any of your listeners have ideas that they want to share, feel free to go to our website, and there's contact information there, and we're happy to take suggestions.
Mary, thanks. Have a great weekend. We got about a minute remaining. Sean's in Santa Clarita, California. Hi, Sean. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Hi there. I've been a Dodger fan since I was 8 years old, and they moved out here. And I found out, I was reminded that every year for decades, the Dodgers sponsored Nuns Day every year, where sisters and nuns came in and were invited free. And I think this is a slap in the face of all of those nuns.
Yeah, the O'Malley family started that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That's right, the Catholic O'Malley family. I don't know who's in charge of Dodgers now, but they certainly aren't paying attention.
Yeah. Patrick Alog is helping produce the show. He would know who's in charge of the Dodgers. I don't, Patrick, so you can just let me know in my ear. Sean, that's a great idea. We appreciate it so much. 888-914-9149. Again, Logan, as campaign director for CatholicVote.org, in about a minute we have remaining, explain the media campaign that we're going to see on literally every device to get the Dodgers to change their mind.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be across billboards. It's going to be on social media. It's going to be via text-to-text, especially targeting locals and Catholics in California, letting them know what's going on. It's going to be in English and it's going to be in Spanish. We're going to make sure everybody knows what's happening and knows just how disgusting this is. Please make sure you visit us at CatholicVote.org. Keep up to date on what we're doing and join the fight.
Stan Kasten is the Dodgers president and CEO. Stan Kasten, K-A-S-T-E-N. Thank you, Patrick Alog, who is a very big sports fan, and we go to him for all things sports. And CatholicVote.org is the link to go to, and you'll see all of those hyperlinks. Just click on them. It'll take you about 5 minutes and get your voice heard. Logan, thanks so much. I know we'll continue to follow this story, and please use Relevant Radio as a platform to get your great work out to a bigger audience. Thanks, Logan. God bless you.
Thanks so much. Have a great night.
And it's been a blessing to spend some time with you. Drew's back from vacation on Monday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.